When Kobe Bryant's memoir hit shelves in 2018, it quickly became a cultural phenomenon. Not just another sports autobiography, the Mamba mentality offered a rare glimpse into the mind of one of basketball's most enigmatic figures. Oprah Winfrey called it a masterclass in the psychology of excellence, while Barack Obama included it in his annual reading list, noting how its principles extended far beyond sports. The book's impact reached beyond basketball fans, becoming required reading in business schools and psychology courses nationwide. What makes this work so compelling is how it transforms Bryant's obsessive approach to basketball into a philosophy for life, revealing the meticulous preparation, unwavering focus, and relentless drive that fueled his legendary career. The Mamba mentality wasn't just a catchy phrase. It was Kobe Bryant's entire approach to life. What began as a simple Twitter hashtag evolved into a philosophy that transcended basketball, influencing everyone from Fortune 500 CEOs to aspiring artists. At its core, this mentality wasn't about results, but about the process, the daily commitment to excellence regardless of circumstances. Bryant's journey began with a simple but profound realization. Basketball never frightened him. While others hesitated to implement new skills for fear of failure or embarrassment, Kobe embraced the challenge, focusing solely on the end result. From childhood, he worked tirelessly to master new techniques, studying moves he admired and practicing until they became second nature. This approach gave him an unusually short learning curve when he entered the NBA as a teenager. What separated Bryant from his peers wasn't just talent, but his puzzle-solving approach to the game. When facing opponents like Allen Iverson, Tracy McGrady, or Vince Carter, he viewed each matchup as an intellectual challenge to be decoded. This analytical mindset became his competitive advantage. He wasn't just playing basketball, he was solving complex problems in real time. The foundation of this mentality was an almost biblical work ethic. Beginning at age 17, Kobe established a grueling weightlifting regimen that he maintained throughout his career. 90-minute sessions 4 days a week, followed immediately by shooting practice. While fitness trends came and went, Bryant stuck with time-tested methods that strengthened his body one muscle group at a time. His infamous midnight workouts weren't just for show. They served the practical purpose of fitting more training into each day while balancing basketball with family life. Rather than sacrificing either his game or time with his children, he chose to sacrifice sleep instead. This mentality extended beyond physical preparation to mental conditioning. Bryant devoured game film from a young age, finding genuine enjoyment in analyzing the minutiae of basketball. He wasn't content just watching what happened. He wanted to understand why it happened and explore what could have happened, examining alternatives, counters, and options with obsessive detail. For Kobe Bryant, preparation wasn't optional. It was necessary. His approach to training was methodical and comprehensive, covering every aspect of performance from physical conditioning to mental preparation and recovery. Bryant's warm-up routine began close to the basket, activating muscle memory before gradually moving outward. After establishing rhythm, he'd practice specific shots anticipated for that night's game, essentially walking his body through the scouting report. This wasn't a rigid formula, but rather an adaptive process based on what his body needed each day. His cardio training reflected basketball's unique demands, short, intense bursts followed by brief recovery periods. Rather than generic fitness, Bryant focused specifically on decreasing recovery time between sprints. Using timed track work, he'd progressively reduce rest periods until, after a full off-season, his recovery time was virtually non-existent. This specialized conditioning allowed him to maintain peak performance when others fatigued. Equally important was his recovery process. While teammates rushed to shower and leave after games, Bryant followed a consistent routine, applying ice to his knees, shoulder, and feet for 20 minutes to reduce inflammation. On particularly stiff days, he'd use contrast therapy, alternating between cold and hot water in precise intervals. 4 minutes cold, 3 minutes hot, 3 minutes cold, 2 minutes hot, continuing with decreasing intervals before finishing with one final minute in cold water. Bryant's approach to injury management revealed his extraordinary mental toughness. Over 20 seasons, he suffered numerous serious injuries, but maintained an unwavering mindset. What do I need to do to get back to 100%? For smaller injuries like fractures and sprains, he'd simply ask, "Will it get worse if I play through it?" If the answer was no, if it would just be painful but not worsen, he'd play through it every time. When limited physically, he'd test his capabilities during shoot-around and early in games, then adjust his strategy accordingly. This adaptability extended to his pre-game mental preparation, which varied based on his specific needs for each matchup. If he needed intensity, he'd listen to hard music. If calmness was required, he might play his high school bus soundtrack or sit in complete silence. The key was self-awareness, understanding his current mental state and what adjustments were necessary for optimal performance. What truly distinguished Kobe Bryant was his relentless pursuit of improvement through systematic analysis and adaptation. His approach to basketball resembled a scientist in a laboratory, constantly experimenting, analyzing results, and refining techniques. Bryant's curiosity drove him to constantly ask questions, seeking to improve and absorb basketball history. Regardless of who he was with, coaches, Hall of Famers, teammates, or the situation, he would persistently inquire. While many appreciated his genuine thirst for knowledge, others were less receptive. He preferred risking momentary embarrassment over the lasting embarrassment of winning nothing. This inquisitive nature extended to studying basketball legends who came before him. Bryant cultivated relationships with Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Jerry West, and James Worthy, mentors who taught him lessons that gave him an edge over his competition. From Magic, he studied body control off the dribble, spin moves, and cross-court bounce passes with perfect backspin. From Kareem, he learned about basketball history, playing with Oscar Robertson, facing the Celtics, and the plays they ran under Pat Riley. Bryant's evolution as a player was deliberate and strategic. After his rookie season ended with 4 air balls against Utah, he identified his weakness, strength. His legs were like spaghetti after the long season. He responded by immediately starting an intense weight training program and spent that night shooting in a high school gym, returning the next day to work more. By 2003, he'd reached a level where nothing, emotionally, mentally, physically, or strategically, could stop him. His approach to skill development was comprehensive. Even at 6 years old, he hated feeling weakness in any area, so he worked relentlessly on his left hand, brushing his teeth and writing with it to develop ambidexterity. On the court, he made sure he could dribble, shoot, pivot, and spin comfortably with either hand. When he injured his right index finger in 2009-2000, he completely changed his shooting technique, shifting from his first 2 fingers to using his middle finger as his release point. This adjustment required intense mental and physical work, days of downloading the software of the new form and drilling it with thousands of repetitions. Perhaps most impressively, Bryant built his game to have no exploitable weaknesses. He designed his style to be impenetrable, even to those who knew him well. Knowing his preferences didn't help defenders because he could easily go the other direction. Understanding his rhythm was futile because he deliberately varied his pace to throw defenders off. The more you thought you knew, he explained, the harder he became to guard. Bryant's approach to basketball wasn't just about physical dominance. It was about intellectual mastery. He analyzed every aspect of the game with surgical precision, developing counters and strategies for any situation. Against Allen Iverson, Bryant's strategy was simple but effective. Use his height advantage to shoot over him from favorable positions like the mid-post. This wasn't settling for jumpers, it was strategic. By catching at the elbow or mid-wing, he neutralized the Sixers' defensive schemes while getting clean looks. Defending Iverson required understanding his attack patterns within Larry Brown's system. Bryant identified when Allen would be aggressive, typically the 10 to 8 minute mark of quarters, and disrupted his rhythm during those stretches through physical play and denying him the ball. When facing Tracy McGrady, whom Bryant considered perhaps his hardest matchup due to his complete offensive arsenal, he'd disrupt McGrady's flow by getting underneath him and being physical with his legs, back, which McGrady had insecurities about, and hips. His goal was to suffocate him and take away any daylight for scoring. Against Paul Pierce, who excelled at using his body as a shield, Bryant would turn the tables, using his left forearm to pressure Pierce's back, positioning his left leg behind him to prevent spins, and his right leg to cut off driving angles. His right hand remained ready to flick away any mistake, aiming to either steal the ball, block the shot, make Pierce uncomfortable enough not to shoot, or force an off-balance attempt. Bryant's defensive approach was equally calculated. He studied the referee's handbook to understand officials' positioning on the floor, identifying dead zones where they couldn't see certain actions. This knowledge allowed him to get away with holds, travels, and minor violations by exploiting these blind spots. When guarding Chris Paul, his first defensive priority was tying up Paul's dominant right hand with his left to make ball handling difficult, while using his height and length advantage to contest shots and cut off passing angles. In team defensive scenarios, Bryant would strategize with teammates like Meta World Peace before games about which opponents they would shut down, taking turns guarding targets before trapping them. This coordinated approach allowed them to neutralize opposing stars and disrupt offensive flow. While often portrayed as a solitary figure, Bryant's approach to leadership and teamwork revealed a deeper understanding of what makes teams successful. His leadership style was intentionally challenging. He liked pushing people out of their comfort zones, believing that discomfort leads to growth and improvement. "I dared people to be their best selves," Bryant explained. While his approach never fundamentally changed, he did adjust how he applied it from player to player. He studied each teammate, their histories, goals, insecurities, and doubts, so he could touch the right nerve at the right time. In his final years, he was especially demanding with younger teammates like D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson, trying to expedite their development by sharing his 2 decades of experience. Bryant's relationship with Shaquille O'Neal illustrated his strategic approach to team dynamics. While they formed one of basketball's most dominant duos, winning 3 consecutive championships together, their partnership wasn't always smooth. Bryant revealed that they deliberately amplified tensions between them to ensure teammates remained fully invested and competitive. "It was never about Shaq and Kobe," he explained. "It was about ensuring everyone understood the seriousness of our mission." This calculated approach extended to their on-court chemistry. Even with a dominant center like Shaq, Bryant understood his job was creating easy opportunities by drawing defenders away. He'd attack the rim and even leave his feet, fundamentally unsound, to make defenders believe he was shooting. Once they committed to blocking him, he'd find the open pocket to pass through. The key was knowing Shaq's preferences, where he liked to position himself, how he liked to catch, and which hand he preferred to finish with. Bryant's appreciation for complementary skills was evident in his relationship with Pau Gasol, whom he called his favorite teammate ever. They connected immediately after Gasol's mid-2008 trade to the Lakers, forming a bond that went beyond basketball to shared interests in Spanish language, cultural diversity, reading, musicals, opera, and theater. Their partnership led to 2 more championships in 2009 and 2010. He also valued teammates who brought unique qualities to the team. Lamar Odom was described as the glue, whose contribution was immeasurable, charismatic, unselfish, and community-minded, bringing the team together through group outings and individual connections. Derek Fisher was a natural leader whose patience perfectly offset Bryant's intensity, making them a lethal combination. One of the most remarkable aspects of Bryant's career was his ability to perform at an elite level despite numerous injuries. This wasn't just about physical toughness, it reflected a sophisticated approach to understanding and managing his body. After fracturing his finger in December 2009, Bryant had a revealing exchange with team trainer Gary Vitti. When told the finger was broken, Bryant immediately asked, "Is it going to get better?" When Vitti said no, Bryant replied, "Exactly, there's nothing we can do and it can't get worse, so tape it up and let's go." From then on, they'd apply a hard splint and wrap it with elastic tape before every practice, shoot around, and game. Bryant understood that pain often stemmed from imbalances elsewhere in the body, focusing on treating root causes rather than symptoms. He paid particular attention to keeping his ankles activated and mobile, knowing that ankle stiffness could create problems throughout the kinetic chain, affecting knees, hips, back, and beyond. After severely spraining his ankle during the 2000 NBA Finals, he took up tap dancing that summer to proactively strengthen his ankles while improving foot speed and rhythm, an unconventional but effective solution that benefited him for the rest of his career. His approach to playing through injuries was strategic, not just stubborn. When limited physically, he'd test his capabilities during shoot-around and early in games, then adjust his game plan accordingly. "That's why having a well-rounded game matters," he explained. "When hurt, I lost some burst and explosion, but I was still me, still Kobe." This adaptability allowed him to remain effective even when physically compromised. Perhaps the greatest test came on April 12, 2013, when Bryant tore his Achilles tendon with just 3 minutes left in a game against the Warriors. He felt it tear and saw it curling up the back of his leg, yet still tried to walk and figure out how to play around it before realizing he needed to take free throws and exit the game. Walking off court, he just shook his head at his wife, who immediately recognized the severity. Bryant called this injury his personal Mount Everest. Before it happened, he'd been contemplating his career arc, feeling his body wearing down. But he refused to let the injury dictate his retirement. He would dictate it himself. "That's when I decided to climb that mountain," he said, embarking on the grueling rehabilitation process that would eventually allow him to return to the court. Bryant's final NBA game encapsulated his entire career, a perfect blend of preparation, mental toughness, and spectacular performance. The day began routinely, working at his office, until he suddenly realized it was time to leave for Staples Center. Despite it being his 1,346th and final regular season game, the drive felt normal. Upon arriving, he noticed the arena's somber energy, not what he wanted for his farewell. "I preferred celebration and life," he recalled, taking responsibility for changing the mood. After suiting up, he realized his legs weren't fresh, meaning the night would either be one of his greatest performances or one of his worst. He laughed at this thought, confident in his preparation for playing on tired legs. Once the game started, his focus was complete, and any thoughts about it being his final game disappeared as he immersed himself in the chess match he'd excelled at for 20 years. The result was one of the most remarkable farewell performances in sports history. 60 points at age 37, outscoring the entire opposing team in the fourth quarter and leading the Lakers to victory. Looking back on his career, Bryant reflected on how basketball had given him everything. Beyond championships and accolades, the game provided him with opportunities he never imagined and taught him countless lessons that extended beyond the court. Basketball taught him how to create, write, understand human nature, and lead. It taught him the art of storytelling, leading to an Emmy, an Oscar, and creative visions that were still unfolding at the time of writing. His career statistics tell part of the story. 33,643 points, third all-time when he retired, an 81-point game, second highest in NBA history, 20 seasons with the Lakers, longest tenure by any guard with one team, 5 championships, 2 Olympic gold medals, and countless other accolades. But numbers alone can't capture the impact of his Mamba mentality, a philosophy that continues to influence athletes, business leaders, and anyone striving for excellence in their field. "Basketball truly took me everywhere," Bryant concluded, "and now I'm taking the game everywhere." This final statement proved prophetic, as his legacy continues to inspire new generations to embrace the process, focus on details, and pursue greatness with unwavering determination. The Mamba mentality wasn't just about basketball. It was about approaching any pursuit with complete dedication, meticulous preparation, and relentless drive. This philosophy has resonated far beyond sports, becoming a cultural touchstone for excellence in any field. At its core, Bryant's message was simple yet profound. True greatness requires genuine care and obsession. Many claim to want greatness but aren't willing to make the necessary sacrifices, spreading themselves too thin instead. Achieving greatness demands tremendous time, difficult choices, and understanding from loved ones who must sacrifice alongside you. The journey isn't a straight line, but a constant balancing act, like walking a tightrope, leaning too far in one direction, then correcting and overcompensating in the other. What separates all-time greats from merely great performers, Bryant believed, is their ability to self-assess, diagnose weaknesses, and transform flaws into strengths. He pointed to Kevin Durant's evolution as a prime example. Early in his career, KD had exploitable weaknesses, struggling with pull-up jumpers going right and lacking post moves. But within a year or two, he addressed these issues, systematically eliminating every weakness until he developed a complete offensive game. This process of continuous improvement, of never being satisfied, is the essence of the Mamba mentality. Bryant's approach to coaching reflected these principles as well. Great coaches, he believed, teach you how to think rather than just telling you what to do. They arm you with fundamental tools and show you how to find solutions rather than just pointing to them. This emphasis on problem-solving and critical thinking makes the Mamba mentality applicable to any field where excellence is the goal. Perhaps the most powerful aspect of Bryant's legacy is how it continues to evolve and inspire. From business leaders applying his principles to organizational challenges, to artists embracing his work ethic in their creative pursuits, the Mamba mentality has become a framework for achievement that transcends basketball. As Bryant himself put it, what started as a catchy Twitter hashtag came to symbolize much more. The Mamba mentality isn't about seeking results, it's about the process of getting there. It's a way of life. The essence of Kobe Bryant's approach to basketball and life was his unwavering commitment to improvement. Every day presented an opportunity to get better, to refine skills, to eliminate weaknesses. This mindset transformed him from a talented teenager into one of the greatest players in basketball history. Bryant's obsession with details extended to every aspect of his game. His sneaker designs weren't about aesthetics, but performance. He was meticulous about weight distribution, materials, cut, traction, and durability. When he told Nike he wanted a low-top signature shoe in 2008, they initially refused. Bryant reminded them of Phil Knight's mantra, "Listen to the voice of the athlete." The resulting Kobe 4 changed basketball footwear, challenging the conventional wisdom that high tops were necessary for ankle protection. His approach to winning championships revealed the same relentless pursuit. After experiencing the joy of winning his first championship, Bryant immediately wanted more. After one ring came the desire for two. After two, the hunger for three. This drive came from experiencing the rebuilding process, struggling for years before reaching the pinnacle. Once there, he never wanted to feel defeat again. Yet the extremes of winning and losing felt equally intense to him. His response remained identical. He'd be in the gym at the same time, whether after losing 50 games or winning a championship. Nothing changed his work ethic or commitment to improvement. This consistency extended to his final season. Even as his career wound down, Bryant maintained his obsessive approach to preparation and performance. His teammates and coaches marveled at his dedication, with Luke Walton noting that Bryant was destined to be a coach due to his exceptional understanding of the game and ability to communicate clearly. The Mamba mentality wasn't just about individual achievement. It was about inspiring others to pursue their own greatness. Bryant took pride in sharing his knowledge with younger players, even those who would eventually replace him as the league's stars. His willingness to mentor rivals like LeBron James and Kevin Durant revealed a deeper understanding of his legacy, not just as a player, but as a guardian of basketball excellence. In the end, Bryant's greatest achievement may not be his 5 championships or countless records, but the mindset he cultivated and shared with the world. The Mamba mentality continues to inspire people to approach their passions with unwavering focus, meticulous preparation, and relentless drive, a legacy that extends far beyond the basketball court.